Good.
We are going to open the informational meeting for our December days for our transportation and natural resources. I want to let you know that our chair brings you holiday wishes. He is actually traveling on business and he will not be here today. But he tells us that he knows we're going to do a good job listening and answering questions and working on our committee agenda. So this is a long, pretty aggressive agenda. We do have a lot of things to cover, and we are going to try and do it well, but also to do it in a concise way. And so I am going to announce the amount of time you have for your area or your panel at the beginning, and then Laura and I will try to keep us on task, right? So we are going to be opening an informational meeting on the fire season update. So I welcome you to come forward, and I think we've got four individuals. And I'm going to ask that you put yourself in the order that you think is the most efficient and introduce yourself for the record. And we really appreciate you being here, and we want to thank you already without even hearing anything for the horrendous and long season that you've been coming through. So thank you. And Peter, are you going to start for us today?
Yes. Good morning, Vice Chairs McLean.
And it's you've got 40 minutes.
Good morning, Vice Chairs McLean and Springer, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Peter Doherty, and I serve as the Oregon State Forester and the Director of the Department of Forestry. I'm joined by key partners, Glenn Casamassa, the new Regional Forester for the U.S. Forest Service, Jim Walker, the State Fire Marshal for Oregon, and my Chief of Fire Protection, Doug Graff. We're here today to provide you with a final report on the 2018 fire season, recognizing some major challenges we are currently facing and highlighting some opportunities through partnership that we can mitigate the risk of catastrophic fire. Oregon's policy is to preserve and conserve forest resources through the prevention of forest fires using a complete and coordinated fire protection system. We implement this wildfire protection system through partnership with forest landowners, nine federally recognized tribes, forest operators, local, state, and federal agency cooperators, and the fire contracting community. All are critical to our success, and I'd like to acknowledge and thank the whole firefighting community for their tremendous effort this fire season. The 2018 fire season was extremely challenging, making it the sixth out of the last 7 years with extreme fire conditions. We have exceeded 10-year averages in number of fires, acres burned, and cost, as Doug will highlight in more details. Once again, we experienced the same challenges identified in the 2016 Secretary of State performance audit on large fires. We were challenged to find sufficient mid-level management staff. These are highly specialized roles critical to safe and successful firefighting. We were unable to fully support our second incident management team deployment without extending employees beyond our policy of limiting them to 14 days straight working. And we continue to see impacts to meeting other core businesses, including delaying smoke management rules, which you'll hear about later this morning. And this is really important for our ability to mitigate the risk of wildfire. Not only were we extremely challenging in deploying firefighting resources during the 2018 fire season, our ability to provide business services to support the effort were strained as well and continued well beyond the official fire season. The fire season didn't end for our finance until about maybe a week ago. The $102 million cost of this fire season inundated our accounts payable capacity, systems, and processes to the point we had to triage our vendor payments to focus on small business and other critical payments. In addition, throughout the season, we were plagued by limitation authorization and cash flow issues. Fortunately, we've recovered back to the point where we're kind of in our normal business processes now, and we're taking steps to think of ways we can mitigate that in the future. Despite these challenges, we've seen many success. As usual, ODF's base fire protection system has been highly effective, keeping the vast majority of fires at 10 acres or less. The severity program has enabled the department to procure aviation assets and distribute them across the state for initial and extended attack. These resources are critical for supporting initial attack efforts and keeping fires small. Without these additional resources, the number of larger expensive fires and their negative impacts to Oregonians would have been much greater. I will now turn it over to Doug to initiate the presentation.
Good morning, Vice Chairs McLean, Springer, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Doug Graff. I serve as Chief of Fire Protection for the Oregon Department of Forestry. Today, I'll report out on the 2018 fire season with the numbers of fires, acres burned, and suppression costs. And although it seems too early for this, some predictions around looking ahead towards 2019 fire season. I'll then turn it over to Chief Walker with the State Fire Marshal for his perspective on the 2018 fire season, and we'll close with an introduction to the new regional forester for the U.S. Forest Service. The first slide here clearly shows that the wildfire in the West was extreme, and we all understand this reality, given the smoke we were breathing for much of the summer. Two lightning events defined this fire season. On July 15th, over 140 fires were ignited in southwest Oregon within a 24-hour period. These fires remained, several of them remained for much of the fire season across the landscape in some very difficult and tough terrain for much of the summer. On August 15th, was the second significant lightning event, which ignited over 60 fires in eastern Oregon, also within a 24-hour period. I have a slide that details that event. In total, Oregon has experienced 2,000 wildfires across all fire jurisdictions. 2,000 wildfires. This includes Rangeland Fire Protective Associations in southeast Oregon, our tribal nations, the U.S. Forest Service, the Interior Departments of BLM, BIA, National Parks, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and finally, new to this conversation, in the wheat country in north central Oregon and out of Sherman and Wasco counties. On ODF protected lands, which I have depicted here on the slides, and that's the data I'll show for the next series of slides, but I will highlight the statewide perspectives also. We experience approximately half of the fires in the state, shown here on the slide. We protect, in partnership with forest landowners, approximately 16 million acres of lands. That includes 4 million of public lands and 12 million acres of private lands, including high-value timberland, grazing, and what we refer to as the wildland-urban interface, where our communities intersect with forests and grazing lands and open spaces. Approximately 2 million acres of ODF's protection is within this wildland-urban interface, where tens of thousands of homes exist and where firefighting becomes more complex. We have seen this complexity play out in painful ways in these past several years in California. Critical in this slide is the blue section, and I'll spend some time here. This is the human-caused fires. We average approximately 675 human-caused fires annually on ODF protection, and it has been that way for over 50 years. ODF administers two critical prevention programs. The first is the Industrial Fire Prevention Program, which regulates forest operations to ensure fire equipment is at the ready on logging sites.